We have seen in the past several years under the Barack Obama, or whatever his name is, administration, a militant homosexual movement on steroids running at warp speed. Many of us have been warning you that this movement is not what it seems, what it's being sold as to the American public. While its proponents claim it is simply about gaining marriage equality and civil rights for homosexual, transgender, and other sexual deviants, that is not the case. At its core, this movement is about tyranny. It's about subverting the rights of people who hold traditional moral values, which are antithetical to immoral, centralized government control. It's about silencing the dissent of those who oppose the destruction of marriage and the mainstreaming of deviancy. It's about deconstructing the foundations and truths of our freedom-based constitutional republic. This movement's goals are in line with the goals of the communists, and I'm certain that many homosexual activists who are only useful pawns of this movement do not see this. The latest front to aggressively emerge in the radical homosexual movement's war against God, truth, reason, and freedom is in the area of expanded special rights for people suffering from transgenderism, which is a mental and spiritual disorder. Those who labor under it believe they are members of the opposite sex, which is a biological impossibility. Thus, it has always, until recently, been rightly observed to be a disease of the mind. In our twisted age of political correctness, some heavily politicized scientific and medical professionals have abandoned truth and reason and lent their credibility to the lie that it's somehow possible for a man to be a woman. This is pitiful mob insanity. The push for special rights for transgenders is finally shaking awake many people who have ignored the steady progress of the radical homosexual movement. When it comes to the prospect of federal employment non-discrimination law favoring sexual deviance being shoved down our throats and the reality of what it would mean for business owners and others, people are starting to understand the despotism such an edict would be. It would mean, for instance, that a businessman could very easily be successfully sued by a mentally disordered man who insists on dressing like a woman, if that businessman turned him down for a job. There are myriad bad scenarios you can imagine that would result from such a federal law. On Monday, I read an outstanding column on this subject by Stella Morabito, who, according to her biographical entry, is a journalist, former intelligence analyst, and an expert in various aspects of Russian and Soviet politics, including communist media and propaganda. Her piece, titled "How the Trans Agenda Seeks to Redefine Everyone," is truly a must-read for anyone seeking to understand the true goals of this diabolical movement. She writes, quote, "Do you think only women get pregnant? Or only women get abortions? Planned Parenthood and NARAL, ironically both pro-abortion organizations that self-identify as champions of women's rights, may soon be trying to change your mind about that. One signal comes from a little petition drive that goes by @ProTransProChoice. It urges both Planned Parenthood and NARAL to adopt language more inclusive of transgender persons and to acknowledge gender non-conforming people. Both pro-abortion organizations, which have been longtime supporters of the LGBT lobby, tweeted back supportive replies. So what does this mean and why should we care?" End quote. Ms. Morabito goes on to present the account of the pregnant man featured on Oprah Winfrey's show and throughout the media a few years back. This man was, of course, a woman, calling herself Thomas, who had her body surgically mutilated and hormones administered to give her a manly appearance. Yet she retained her female reproductive organs and used them, along with donor sperm, to get pregnant and give birth to a few babies. Poor babies. Ms. Morabito then notes, quote, "So what does it all mean? At root, this isn't really about people like Thomas. It's mostly about everybody else. It's all about changing you and your self-concept. As fringy as they may sound, injecting such lies into our language, the pregnant man, and the push to separate the word pregnancy from the word woman, are clear signals that we are moving steadily toward erasing all gender distinctions in the law. And why should we care? Because erasing gender distinctions, especially as they apply to childbearing and rearing, would serve to legally undefine what it means to be human. A new legal definition of human as neither male nor female would apply to you whether you like it or not. Already, there is social pressure for everyone to comply with the gender theory notion that biological facts are mere social constructs, end quote. Ms. Morabito mentions the Employment Non-Discrimination Act pending before Congress and its sinister implications for reconstructing the definition of humanity. She then writes, quote, "The transgender movement has strong totalitarian overtones that Americans, especially certain senators, don't fully understand. How else to describe a crusade with such far-reaching consequences for First Amendment rights? The legal destruction of gender distinctions will inevitably dissolve family autonomy, thereby uprooting freedom of association. Free expression becomes hate speech if one doesn't fall into line with the directives of the transgender lobby or its pronoun protocol. Freedom of religion takes a direct hit any way you look at it. Under the guise of rights, the transgender movement can serve as convenient cover for consolidating and centralizing power under an ever-expanding state. Once we allow the state to refuse to recognize that children result from the male-female union, we grant the state more power to separate us from our children. As power becomes more centralized in the state, the individuals and institutions of the state, inevitably flawed, end up owning our personal relationships. With weakened mediating institutions, family, churches, private associations, we lose the buffer zones that stand between individuals and an encroaching state. Let's think this through a bit more. If gender distinctions are erased in law, all marriage will become legally obsolete. The elites pushing same-sex marriage have known this all along. If you thought it was really marriage equality they were after, see point 3 in this Federalist article, Bait and Switch, which is linked in my column online. If we agree to change language to suit the transgender lobby, we ultimately agree to destroy in law the entire basis, sex distinctions, for the only union that can result in autonomously formed families. The implication for privacy and personal relationships are vast, and we need to understand that. If you think you'll be able to cultivate and preserve strong personal relationships in this new matrix, you are mistaken. That can't easily happen in a system in which your familial relationships are not acknowledged or respected by the state. This gender-neutral scheme obliterates the template for the family as a unit, and if the family is no longer accepted as a union that originates through the union of a male and female, there is no real basis for the state to recognize any family as an autonomous unit. Without any such obligation, children become more easily classified as state property, and our personal relationships are more easily controlled by the state. If that sounds totalitarian, that's because it is." End quote. Stella Morabito's entire column is well worth reading. She deeply considers the real implications of this tyrannical transgender movement subset of the larger militant homosexual movement, which is not what it is deceptively packaged as being. The truth is that as more outrages occur at the hands of homosexual activists, rogue federal judges, deluded politicians, and a lawless president, more and more people will come to realize this movement is a grave threat to our God-given, constitutionally protected freedoms and the very foundational unit of a free civil society, the family. I'm Gina Miller.